options activity has altered the investment landscape. Get an edge on this massive flow of funds with Tier 1 Alpha's Market Situation Report, brought to you by HedgEye, a daily newsletter of the latest moves in the options market and a weekly webcast featuring myself, Mike Green of Simplify Asset Management, and Tier 1 Alpha's Craig Peterson and David Pegler. Go to HedgEye.com/research for more information.
Hi, I'm HedgEye's founder, Keith McCullough. If you like what you hear, you will love our investing research. We bring transparency, accountability, and actionable investing ideas to investors big and small. I'll put our investing process and team up against anyone in the world. Please visit HedgEye.com to subscribe and learn a better way to invest.
Morning, I'm Darrell Jones, Director of Research at HedgEye. Welcome to the Macro Show for Monday, February 26th, 2024. I almost said three. I'm back after a week on vacation and fired up to be here.
Were you standing beside my wife in that promotional commercial?
Oh, I didn't even. I was looking at myself. I didn't even notice who I was standing.
See the things human beings look at, right? Like when you look at something, what do you
see? I was like wondering, like, why the hell am I laughing like that?
Oh, there you go, Jones. You look good this morning. You look good and rested. All right. Top three things this morning in the notebook after a very good week for HedgEye Nation, and for those of you that are here for the free access week, welcome to my lovers and haters. May you never meet. Rates, VIX, Mag 5. All right, first on interest rates. This morning you get a little toning down of interest rates. Into the end of the week, you get a toning down of the long-term interest rate being the 10-year yield. But again, they're still signaling bullish from both a trade and trend perspective. For those of you that aren't familiar with the process, we do multi-duration, multi-factor, and we don't do multi-moving monkey. Okay, so again, moving monkey, of course, is a simple one-factor model, whereas we use price, volume, volatility, multi-factor, and multi-duration trade, trends, and tails. So when you're bullish on an immediate-term trade signal and are trending intermediate-term trend signal, that's obviously bullish with BHLs, big, higher, lows. Okay, so that would be on what we call the immediate-term risk range. So we got a big, higher, low this morning at 415 on the 10-year and 445 on the 2-year yield. And again, all of HedgEye Nation knows what to do with that, which means you're not long bonds. The only bonds that we have are super short-term, where we have, of course, a nice ball-hogging risk-free rate. And, of course, we're not long all the rate cut bets that people had on for the last 2 months. Okay, so we faded that as we would. And finally, just rolling that into the VIX, what does it mean? I mean, the VIX finally on Friday broke trend support. So again, that is now 1391. Don't forget that the lines move. And we're back into a positive dealer gamma position. What that means is that market is again going to fade itself. So again, strength is sold and weakness is bought. So you get a tightening risk range and higher highs. And we do think both Tier 1 and Alpha, Tier 1 Alpha and I agree on this. By the way, their flip line is this morning 5024. That's where dealer gamma flips back to bullish. If you don't know what that is, please look it up and do your own education here so that we can get all on the same page. But we're both seeing the same thing. I think Craig's top end of his, and it's again, his is probability bands based on the coagulation of options contracts, whereas mine is the price volume volatility signal. But at 5115, that's plenty enough a pin around a round number. He's, you know, talking about 5100. Of course, I say 5115, and that's what I have to say about that. So that's good for buying the damn dips and the many things that we have. A couple things that we don't have, if you look at the Mag 5, are long positions in Apple or Tesla. So again, I'm not sure if it's part of All Access Pass, but we have this thing called the Momentum Tracker, which shows you whether or not the Mag 7 stocks are signaling bullish trend or not, and two of them are not, Apple and Tesla. Now, those two stocks were bloody dogs on Friday, even though the S&P 500 hit a new all-time high. No, I'm not long Spy Monkey. We're long SPMO, which has been better. That's S&P Momentum. We have 16, actually, U.S. equity positions. And again, our winners last week speak for themselves. We were long shipping, which was up almost 12%. MSOS last week, which is cannabis, was up almost 7%. Spy Monkey was only up 1.7%. So for those of you that are beholden to that or a 60-40 portfolio, I do feel bad for you. That's why we're doing this for you. Give it a little free, eh? A little free, eh, bud? A little free access to something that's a better way. So that's what we have going on there. But again, the other five, of course, that's what we call it, Mag 5, are bullish from a trend perspective. And fundamentally, our analysts are bullish on four of those five. So quantamentally, I still go with the signal over the analysts. But again, we've been right on those stocks. And I guess you just have to call it the terrible twos, right? Terrible twos, for those of you who have had kids, you know what it means, right? Terrible twos, Apple and Tesla, terrible things. Those are your top three things, right? Every morning we I shouldn't say every, but generally speaking, I'm highlighting what I'm reading. I try to read a book every 10 days.
I try to keep that pace because I don't read other people's political bullshit or whatever. Again, I'm apolitical. I'm not a Republican, a Democrat. I am a Canadian. Okay, and I read lots of stuff in math. Again, math or science, obviously history and behavioral. And this is a good behavioral book that could help wrap your head around your behavior. Don't forget that if you don't like to be coached, a lot of people don't, right? A lot of people are uncoachable. A lot of people are politically paralyzed. You know, a lot of people, when it comes to markets, start with their feelings. This is what we try to get rid of is all that baggage that I used to have and still have to a degree. That's why I got to keep reading it, because I got to remind myself that some of you like to learn in ways that make you feel comfortable. Everything's nice. Whereas, you know, Adam Grant, who's done a lot of great work, says that it isn't necessarily how you learn your best, right? So again, sometimes you have to learn better in the mode that makes you feel most uncomfortable because that makes you work harder. Again, markets make you work harder. I always say, be comfortable being uncomfortable. Right? The bullshit that some of you are still beholden to watching old wall TV, CNBC, is all about having conviction, comfort. It's total bullshit, right? Total, unequivocal bullshit, all right? What we need you to do is get comfortable being uncomfortable, being able to change your positioning. Having a go-anywhere strategy is critical. You know, who would have thunk last week that consumer staples in GICS level one, look at the bongo board, that's GICS level one being the top 11 sectors in the S&P, would have been the best sector to be long on the week. Now, it wasn't on the day, but it was on the week. Better than tech, even. And again, we're long plenty of tech through the SPMO or the XLG. You can look up all those positions on your own. But again, I wouldn't have, you know, guessed that, but that's cool, right? Because we're long it, all right? And we bought it when it was at the low end of the range, XLP being. And what people really had wrong on this was they're betting on rate cuts, so they're betting on rate sensitivity, Russell 2000. The Russell 2000 was down 0.8% last week, right? XLP plus 2.1 last week. This is week over week returns, right? And you know, something like IWM was minus, just so that those of you that are new can get the point, that 290 basis points of, again, if this is in your account instead of this is much better. Now, we're long IWO now, which is growth, which had a great week last week. So again, that is what it is, too. What we always do in the morning is we give you the S&P 500 risk range. So again, where is the range today? 49.45 is the low end of the range, whereas the top end of the range would be, as I pointed out, a higher all-time high, 51.15. ATH, higher all-time high. Those are the most bullish setups you can get. Higher all-time highs, where the top end of the risk range is implying a higher all-time high. You also have that this morning. If you look at the NASDAQ risk range, we have it at 16,141. The all-time closing high is 16,057. So again, study it deliberately. Execute mathematically. You're going to do way better over time than whatever rocks you have in your head. And I have a lot of rocks in my head. That's why I replace them with some fractal math, eh, bud? That's how we do it. All right. Volume Friday was kind of like, meh, you got a lot of Wall Street, you know, goes on tries to have as many vacations as they can. Don't forget, last year they got back to getting paid. The year before that, they got body bagged. Meanwhile, most people that are long a 60-40 portfolio, even inclusive of last week's gains, are still down 12%. Yeah, that's a thing, right? So again, we didn't have the drawdown in 2022. We got long India in June of 2023. We got long S&P momentum after the Russell had another 18% drawdown from August to October of 2023. After that, we got long S&P momentum, SPMO. We don't really care what people need or want to believe about how we're positioned. No, we care about what's in our accounts. Selfish Canadian bastard, eh, bud? Yeah. Okay. What else we got going on here this morning? Healthcare. Well, we show XLV in GICS level one. This is the daily screen, so that we call the bongo board. We're long PJP and PINK, and they've both done better than XLV. So again, we're bullish on healthcare. We're bullish on insurance stocks. How about that Warren Buffett news this morning? You know, Berkshire's up 4.5-5% because they explained to the world that insurance underwriting gains are really good right now with a higher level of interest rates and inflation. Now, we've had this position for a long time through KBWP and IAK, which is those are two insurance asset allocations. Those have been fantastic, Jones. I mean, again, these are two things that most people don't own. Right, because they have to be like one-dimensional spy monkey. Where's the 50-day, 100-day on this? Yeah, if you could, you would, right? Now, but you got to spend some time on it. Like, have you ever seen anybody accomplish anything in real life, like without like actually putting some real time into it? Of course not. Yeah, so that's why we always say that Hedgeye Nation's not for everybody. It's for people that, you know, have some level of experience and can say, wow, this is a far better way,
right? There's a difference. One of my good friends sent me a note this weekend, the difference between amateurs and professionals. There's some pretty obvious ones, but one is that amateurs want a shortcut, and professionals, if they're serious and want to play at the highest level, have a process, okay, that's repeatable over time, and that's what we're trying to get you to do, is to have, of course, one of those. Just looking at cross-asset class vol, as we would, you did get the move index on Friday, again, because you had a down move in bond yields to go below trend just by a little bit. I'm not going to boil the ocean over that or change any positions. We still remain underweight of long-term bonds, or TLT, as some of you more retail-oriented peeps might think about it. If you look at the breadth on Friday, it continues to improve, but it's not improving where, you know, kind of that consensus Wall Street person is positioned. So, again, they bought the Russell. That's what they call broadening, which is not broadening. I mean, the Russell this year, even if they're looking at their bloody year-to-date, I mean, it's up 2% in the last month. I mean, they're way better places to have your money than Tesla, Apple, Russell 2000. And yes, Russell 2000 says neutral for the first time in a long time, so I'm not shorting it either. But there are better things to be long. MLPs were up 2.7% last week, AMLP. And you get the dividend yield. So again, there's a lot going on out there, as we continue to point out. You could see that if you look at the calendar of volatility, so this is through our content partner, and full disclosure, that's an economic relationship that we share with Tier 1 Alpha. The calendar this week, Jonesy, doesn't really look like it did 2 weeks ago. Going into...
you don't have the big step up.
Yeah, we had, like, going into CPI and all that, you had a huge step up. Actually, on NVIDIA Day, that number was 20. We're talking super... For those of you that don't look at the volatility of something before you trade it, that's why I call it moving monkey. I used to be that way, okay? So let me help you understand that I'm not calling you names. I would never do that. I'm calling my former self and my boss's names. Again, the game has changed materially. If you do not understand fractal math, the relationship between price and the volatility of volatility and volume, you're just falling behind. So what we're looking here is at short-term, super short-term volatility on the calendar with events. So again, on NVIDIA Day, that number was 20 vol. Now it's come all the way down to inside of 11, barely inside of 11, with really, you know, a range of 11 to 13, including Thursday's main event for macro tourists, which is, of course, going to be the PCE number. That's an inflation number that people that have been, you know, telling you inflation's going away really need to see lower, right? Even though now their estimates are for it to be higher.
Did you see that?
Well, no, I was, as you were talking, I was thinking what's probably happened now is that PCE people are baking in it being higher than expected, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at the old wall's estimates.
Now
I mean,
it'll be lower.
The old wall, and by the way, it's also on a month-end day, which you should pay attention to because things get marked up into month-end. And we're sitting pretty here because we have lots of longs, right? In our long-only asset allocation model, I have 28 longs. That's down from more because I've been selling some stuff on green. Or if they broke down, like nuclear, uranium broke down, sold it. Now, it didn't call the uranium advisors of the world and chew on a white paper and say, ah, bah, bah, bah. No, broke trend, goodbye. No relationship there. I have no relationship with any ticker. All right? I called out very quickly that Jonesy was talking to the one woman in this world that I have a very serious relationship with. I pay attention to that.
That's actually, you know, it's a very interesting about, you know, because we, you know, a few weeks ago we had the picture of the old woman, the young woman, and it's like what people see. And I didn't even notice who I was talking to. And you, of course,
that's a good thing.
You're talking
that's
your
a good
wife.
Thing, Jonesy. She's great. PCE for January, Jonesy. The street's looking for 2.4%.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, yeah, that's we'd say it's probably a fair number in line. Prior to that, what we'd remind you of is that higher for longer is the economic outcome. You guys can show our nowcast for free. We might as well do it. On the rest of the year, on a quarterly basis, we don't have inflation on headline CPI falling below 3%. Okay, so that's higher for longer, stickier for longer. That looks, in terms of fractal math, there's these things called similar sets, things that perpetuate each other. So for those of you that want to get into this, it's like how it's raining here in Connecticut, how the rain perpetuates the edges of a leaf. You notice how they're the same, but you don't know why? Yeah, this is... It's not really deep stuff. It's called nature. But moving monkeys aren't nature, okay? There are monkeys, but moving monkeys, that's not fractal in nature. There are these things called similar sets. So if you have higher for longer on your nowcast for inflation, you most likely have higher for longer on bond yields, okay? So that's an important thing for you to understand if you're trying to understand how we do things. And again, if we're calling people names, it's because it's like a joke. It's like it's either my former self or that they actually believe that that works.
If that worked, we would have to do a lot less work, right? So again, what was Tesla's 50-day moving monkey telling you at the end of the year when it got marked up, before it went down 30%? Absolutely nothing, right? It was giving you the comfort that it was above some moving, simple linear moving average, and that was it. It doesn't work. It's not a leading indicator, okay? So that's it. What else we got going on for this morning in Asia? We do the rest of the world, too, which is kind of an important thing to do. Japan hit new highs. That's still signaling bullish trend, even though the data continues to slow. China actually had its first down day, Jonesy, in a while. It did hold trend, though. So China, we've been bearish on it for over 2 years, and finally, actually, we're long it for a little bit at the beginning of last year, but our signal got us out before it blew up again, and we're shorting it. And that's okay. Yeah. It's not good for hodlers or laser-eyed people. They just want to hodl. They just want to live in a van down by the river. A lot of them live in trailer parks. They need that to go up to get out of the trailer park. I don't. I mean, so again, it's just, we don't buy and hodl. We might hold something for a long time. I think it says that we've been long India for, what, 180-plus trading days, Jendron? Look at that versus Spy Monkey. I tweeted that this weekend. I had to do it. I mean, it's just better. Yeah. Who said that a Canadian can't be long India and has to be long Spy Monkey? There's no difference. It's just tickers, right? And the performance, of course, of India is better over the time that I made that decision. The only thing that matters to you is what's in your account when you put it in the account, and that's it, right? Not what people say about things, how they talk about things. That says 22.5, not 17.1, okay? There you go. Well done. India was down, by the way, last night. So if you're not long it yet, and you see me buy some in real-time alert, in portfolio solutions or real-time alerts, then you would buy some, okay? If I'm not buying some, then you want to go buy some. Well, that's not what I said I was doing. And you don't have to do what I do. But again, I'm one of these unique people who like to buy things on sale, right? And then we sell things when they rip after we bought them on sale. That's what we'd ideally like to do. That's what the process tells us to do, all right? Last night, though, China, again, it's something that we've been bearish on for a while. We do have economic data bottoming in the first quarter of China. You can show that on our G20 quad model. Again, the depth to our process, of course, is supreme. And that would, again, show you that we have a quad 2 coming here in the second quarter in China. And the signal currently believes that. So buying the damn dip on China is what I'd be doing instead of shorting the rips, which I've been doing for quite some time. In Europe, you know, in London, it's just not the same. I mean, they don't have AI. It's like Apple. They don't have AI. They got 0% growth, Apple. That's why it doesn't go up. But the FTSE is down again this morning. It was down a little bit last week. And there are things that were up a lot last week. Like shipping was up 12%, BDRY. Huh? You just heard about that? Huh? Why? You know everything about semiconductors, but you don't know about shipping? I mean, why? Why? Because nobody talks about it on old wall TV. That's why. Okay. What else we got here? Keep going. There's a lot of things to buy in Europe. We continue to be long the Dutch stock market, Sweden stock market, EWD, EWN are the two ETFs for that. Both of those are down to flat to down this morning. So maybe we get a buying opportunity there. I don't know till I get to my desk. And Denmark, Eden is the ETF on that, is one we've been looking at. Now, how about South Africa? We were long South Africa. It's down another 1.2% because we get you out. All right. Who in your world ever told you that you can only be long Spy Monkey and you can't be long the South African ETF or the Swedish ETF? Now, if you did what I did, which is sold the South African ETF when it broke trend and you bought the Swedish ETF when it broke out above trend, you know, Sweden was one of the first countries to enter a recession last year. Did you know that? Oh, you didn't know? Now you know. Okay. So there's a lot to this. But again, they're just tickers. Big countries, you know, lots of exposures, all right? Your hard-earned capital deserves that. In commodities today, Jonesy, I'm interested to see if I get a buy signal on copper. So again, going from bearish to bullish on China and copper are also a similar set. Yep. So we're going to have to see, but again, trend for copper, the doctor, is 381, all right? And it's trading just above that. It's but I'll let it take its time. Now, you have corn, which has been a core short. Man, this guy jumps around. Oh, yeah, jump around. Jumper. Can you do it all? I don't know. I doubt it because I need at least 40 analysts and 100 people here to make this all happen. It behooves a man to understand how somebody can do this as a one-man drawdown Josh Brown type band. I mean, and know everything. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Kramer? I mean, this is a short, okay? This is called corn. This is one of the best shorts we've had maybe ever. I mean, the thing never goes up and it's been great. But that doesn't mean that there's deflation in the world. So we're short wheat, we're short corn, we're short hydrogen, HYDR. You can look at how that's done. All done great. We got out of our energy shorts because we want to be long that now. But again, at a price, not yet. And look at the inflation that you see. This is epic levels of inflation. Cocoa, like, do you like chocolate? I mean, it's That's up 142% in the last year. OJ? Oh, you don't drink that because you're on Ozempic? Okay, it's fine. I don't care. But these are things that normal, I shouldn't say you're not normal. You're normal. Feel better? These are things that a lot of human beings consume. And they're going vertical, okay? Potatoes? You're not Irish? What the hell? I mean, these are big things, okay? So the inflation underlying, of course, is largely a function of labor costs being bid up by the government. Don't forget that 25% almost of incremental job ads in the last year have been by the government spending. So they put up these big high wages, so then farmers have to pay more, and it's all a shit show, and it is what it is. It's what you get when you have centrally planned spending. What else we got going on for you this morning? Already hit on bond yields. UK 10-year yield. Now, I said this on Twitter this morning. I said, I'm gonna highlight that. Right? The UK 10-year bond yield is trading at 409. Now, why would that matter? Why not 407? Anything above 401, that's what matters. Because it goes from bearish trend to bullish trend because the trend level is 401. Okay? So for the US 10-year yield, it's 418. So anything above that keeps bond yields bullish trend not only in the US, but in the UK. Now, the UK has not been able to solve for their inflation problem either, despite all the rancoring and talking. You know, inflation just keeps doing what it's doing. It's sticking higher for longer. That remains one of our big base cases. And by the way, before I take questions, Jonesy, Bitcoin.
I was going to ask you about crypto.
Buy some of that today.
Crypto, yeah.
We bought some on sale on Friday in the Portfolio Solutions through tickers IBIT. You notice how we have this go anywhere thing? Like, I just said a lot of things in 20 minutes, didn't I? Worked all weekend to do that with a big team, right? Now, I don't doubt for 2 seconds that other people hate that because they can't do that. Right? I couldn't do that without my teammates. All right? But I can buy some Bitcoin today if it's at the low end of the range. And there's plenty of things in our crypto tracker product, whether it be Bitcoin-related or Bitcoin-sensitive ETFs like BLOK, for example. Outright, like, you know, we have still a bullish trend signal. A lot of hedge funds are still short Coinbase. We're still bullish on it from a quantamental perspective. So there's a lot going on out there.
What about Ethereum?
Yep, bullish.
Similar setup?
Bullish trade and trend.
Okay.
And again, you didn't have to wear the 80% drawdown to be long Ethereum. Believe me, if you had something in your account that goes down 80%, you're going to feel it, you're going to know about it, you're never going to forget it, and some of you are going to bag hold it. But that doesn't change the fact that you got smoked, right? We don't want that to happen to you. If Ethereum goes back to bearish trade, never mind bearish trend, you're going to know that. It's called HedgEye Risk Management, not HedgEye Bag Holder, okay? So it's a good one.
You know, you're talking about things you might not have heard about if you weren't watching our show, like insurance or, you know, South Africa or whatever. But SPMO has been an interesting one there for me.
Beauty.
It's been an absolute monster. You know, when it does go down, it barely goes down. It outperforms the S&P 500. And when it goes up, it outperforms.
Robert McGrory here, Director of Subscriber Development at HedgEye. Hope you're enjoying our podcast. Start generating alpha with our suite of Sector Pro investing research products. Dive deep into retail, industrials, technology, and everything in between with exclusive access to the sharpest analysts and actionable ideas on Wall Street. Go to hedgeye.com/research to subscribe. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
So beauty. This is Invesco's S&P 500 Momentum ETF that are... What we do from a process perspective, we have this guy named Rooster, okay? Now, you might find him on HedgEye AI, which is, he doesn't deal with, like, white papers or books or Chrome Dome Kramer. No, he just does math, okay? So every night, by the time he goes to bed, he has to send me screening over 2,000 ETFs, right, for what we're looking for, multi-factor against strength and signal strength developing. So, again, last week, of 2,000 ETFs, the top three performing ETFs were the three that were long. BDRY, shipping, did I say that yet? MSOS, and weed, which is doubling down on cannabis, admittedly, but nobody called me to say that those gains weren't realized in the account. Okay? So I would have thought that one of the top questions, because generally speaking, human beings go with where they're losing money. Now, we've been reducing, we cut... in uranium, okay? So we had four different asset allocations in uranium. Before last week's decline, we were at two. We took out the small cap piece first, URNJ. And then throughout the week, we took the position down to our minimum. And then I just had 1% position in each, which is what my minimum is in a commodity. Did you establish your minimums, right? You have some guys tell me he's got 5% positions in MSOS. Well, that's not me. I have a 4% max in commodities. So if you want to do something different than me,
and you want to complain about, like, well, I'm too big or too small, you're still not, you're not incorporating the whole process, right? So, you know, they went down to the minimums, then they broke on Friday, Jonesy, so they got taken out. And today I'll send that note out to ETF Pro. Some people in ETF Pro, they're like, why? It's like, I'm trying, man. Like, for $30 a month, that you'll eventually get the note, and we've really narrowed the window on that. Yeah. But Portfolio Solutions subscribers have seen it the whole time.
So you talked a little bit about the jobs ads from government spending. On the call today, you and JT were talking about the sort of pending government shutdown, and you know, your view that not a lot of people are really thinking about it because there's potential that comes with automatic 1% spending cuts.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, at a time when, you know, comps are tough potentially to begin with, you have the, if you were to have these cuts implemented, you know, that is potentially a risk on the growth side people aren't considering.
Yeah, I think, it's one of the most disrespected realities that happened last year, that we ended up with this massive level. Like, where I got GDP wrong, in particular, in the first quarter and then again in the third, was that we didn't have government spending right. Like, the big G and C plus I plus G. So when you take, you know, GDP, C plus I, and I get it, you got to net out exports and imports. But the point is that this was one third of GDP growth last year. That's like basically a new record. Okay, it is what it is. We've adjusted our models and here we are. If you want to look at this, the year of the big G on slide 110, you can see the rip-roaring fun associated with that. But then slide 111 is what Jonesy's talking about, which is you already have, these are called base effects or tough comps. Because you can do that, you can borrow from your children's and their children's futures and run a $1.7 trillion deficit, which I'll show you in a second, and head towards $35 trillion in debt. And you can completely put yourself in a noose over time. But these comparative base effects still exist. So let's just say that, so first of all, when comparisons get more difficult, which they will, you know, into the back half of the year, notice this was happening into election, of course. And by the way, for those of you that are super political, I don't care. I'll show you that in context here if I have time, that is unprecedented, in particular how it was as a percentage of the jobs market, like 24% of the jobs market, incremental ads, whereas the prior record was like 12. True story, all right? Now, so if I just start whacking 1% out of across-the-board spending cuts, Jonesy, you know, the rate of change against these base effects is going to slow anyway. It's just going to slow faster.
Yeah.
And that's what I took from JT today, is that the clock, you know, it's a somewhat imminent, like a March catalyst.
Yeah.
You know, where you have these CRs that have been kind of keeping this thing going, kicking the can. But you've also had, like, some major issues, like, you know, major issues developed politically and associated with this. Just if you want to see, for those of you quickly that don't watch the macro show yet, like, this is created on slide 116. In the last 4 months alone, the government has added $1.1 trillion in debt. Okay? From $6 trillion to $60 trillion in the last 34 years. Slide 117. All right? The deficit, like I said, is $1.7 trillion. During the great financial crisis of 2008, when people were like, oh my God, I can't believe Republicans are doing this, you know, it was 1.4. I'm not a Republican. I'm just telling you that this is what it is, and it's going to 2.5. So these are this is why, Jonesy, we're having a huge political debate about this. Finally, on slide 121, because I said I'd show it to you, for those of you that didn't know this, you know, payroll gains, like the prior peak was 12, right? Right here. During the financial crisis of 2008, Republicans didn't do that. I mean, that was probably in their own mind now. They're watching Democrats spend government spending like never before, and they should have done that. Or not, I don't know. I mean, this is called MMT, by the way.
So I wanted to, you know, I'd like to ask you about this on Monday, but I was out for a week. But Signal Strength stocks, I looked at this morning and thought it was interesting because you now have 60 longs, which I feel like is the most I've seen on that list. And then you have 37 shorts. But is there any kind of read through from either the makeup of stocks or the numbers on each side is telling us something?
Yeah, well, it's not the record was in 2021 when we were ragingly bullish. For those of you that missed that, it still happened. We went bearish at the end of 2021, nailed it when a lot of people got nailed. Then we got nailed in not making the turn in January on certain things, not all things, right? We have a lot of things that we can buy. Now, if all you do is evaluate 60-40, then you're still down double digit. So it doesn't matter,
right? What matters to me is what we do and what's in our account. So having 60 signal strength stocks, I mean, we have names that have been in there, cannabis stocks, growth stocks, defense stocks. Like if I look at the ones that have been in there the longest, DraftKings, number one, DKNG, I think it's up almost 200% from where we went bullish. GLASF, which is not a widely known stock, but it's still worked wonderfully for Hedgeye Nation. Something big cap and boring like General Dynamics or HII, those are two defense stocks. XYL, Xylem, which is water infrastructure. Amazon's obviously in there. Visa, a lot of the names. All Mag 5 are in there. Microsoft, Google are in there. So what's happened now, Jonesy, is at the bottom of the list where these new names come in, for those of you, and by the way, this is a new product that we're coming out with where you can subscribe to it directly as an individual, because up until this time, this was really only an institutional feed that we would give.
Yep.
What you're starting to see is names that are smaller cap come in. So this makes sense, because last week we bought, for the first time, like I said, I didn't buy this. I bought this, IWO, small cap growth. But there are names in here that are small cap in nature that our analysts now like, and you know it's great. So that'll give me a lot of things to do on down days and real-time alerts, because I have 60 essentially names that move to the top of my board.
Yeah.
Right? So old wall way to do it is like, I got a stock pick. Let me tell you about my stock pick. On CNBC now, like the level of qualification for that is so fucking low. I mean, do you think Drawdown Josh Brown ever built a company model on anything, never mind followed a sector formally? No, he's from a boiler room brokerage. No, so our analysts have fully baked models to start, and I have signal strength. Again, those two things, then we start the discussion, right? So I'm not making fun of these buffoons, you know, to be an asshole. I'm making fun of them so that you pay attention, so that you don't listen to them, because over time, that's going to burn you. There's a reason why Citadel, for example, which is one of the world's, you know, I think he's probably got the nicest real estate out of any human being around these days. It's under the age of maybe, I don't know, 75. Why? Because he's built a great business. You're not allowed to trade a stock at Citadel unless you have a company model built. There are actual standards in this business, right? So I know I'm going off on that, but our standards, you can be rest assured, because all these firms pay us for our models. You have a company model, you have an analyst with experience covering it, and then you get the signal. You put them put those two together, you get a signal strength list of stocks. That is going to be one of those valuable things that you get from us. It's one of the most valuable things that I have. That's why I'm saying that. And I'm happy that we're going to, I think, do you know the date that we're going to start publishing it? It might be later this week.
Soon.
Yeah, it's definitely
we're live, baby.
Right. Great.
All right, everybody. We're going to wrap it up there. Thanks for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Have a great day.
And good morning from Control Room, everybody. That voice you just heard was me. Hi, I'm Eric Gendron, producer of Hedgeye TV. Signal strength tracker is live. So go to hedgeye.com/research if you're interested in that product. And speaking of Hedgeye products, just a reminder, all week this week is Hedgeye Free All Access Week. You can get access to 10 different Hedgeye products. If you only have access to one or two or three, this is your chance to get a taste of what we have to offer out there. You can get the early look. You're here for the macro show already, obviously. That one is available for free. ETF Pro Plus, portfolio solutions, investing ideas, signal strength stocks, the call. Highly recommend the call. That's in one of our other video products. Risk range signals, momentum stock tracker, and Bitcoin trend tracker available all week. It's going to be a doozy. Hey, boss. Don't bet that all access week. Have a good one out there.
Don't forget to check out Hedgeye.com to get more actionable investing insights from our team of more than 40 research analysts. And check us out on Twitter at our handle, @Hedgeye. This presentation is informational only. None of the information contained herein constitutes an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any security or investment vehicle, nor does it constitute investment recommendation or legal, tax, accounting, or investment advice by Hedgeye or any of its employees, officers, agents, or guests. This information is presented without regard for individual investment preferences or risk parameters and is general, non-tailored, non-specific information. This content is based on information from sources believed to be reliable. Hedgeye is not responsible for errors, inaccuracies, or omissions of information. The opinions and conclusions contained in this report are those of the individual expressing those opinions and conclusions and are intended solely for the use of Hedgeye subscribers and the authorized recipients of the contents. All investments entail a certain degree of risk, and financial instrument prices can fluctuate based on several factors, including those not considered in the preparation of the content. Consult your financial professional before investing. The information contained herein is protected by United States and foreign copyright laws and is intended solely for the use of its authorized recipient. Access must be provided directly by Hedgeye. Redistribution or republication is strictly prohibited. For more detail, please refer to the terms of service at hedgeye.com/terms of service.